You're live.
I am the developer of Paid Memberships Pro, a membership plugin for WordPress that is gaining traction and growing in use. We're hiring developers and trying to partner with other WordPress companies to handle the demand and tackle all of the opportunities in this space. And that's actually proven to be a bit of a challenge, partially due to the business model we've adopted for Paid Memberships Pro. All of our code is 100% GPL and available for free. Not many other plugins or theme shops out there are giving away all of their code like we are. Other companies are scared and confused by our business model, even though we're just following the same model as WordPress itself. I hope you can learn more about how we're doing business with WordPress so we can all build cool stuff together and prosper. I'm Jason Coleman, and the Dragcast starts now.
From the bowels of WordPress Nation, it's tough.
You know what time it is?
All operators are busy at this time. Please hold.
Drag.
For the Dragcast. Here to talk WordPress news, events, and fizzy pop with community leaders.
Ultimately letting smarter people run the show weekly.
We bring you your favorite Santan alumnus, Brad Williams and Dre Armada. Sit back, folks, grab something to sip on, and get ready to press on. The Dragcast starts now.
Hey, yo, time to kick off another episode of TRL. Oh, wait, I'm talking about the Dragcast here. Actually, episode 31 with Jason Coleman, my man. Brad, what's going on, brother?
Wow, TRL, what year is this? Like 1999? Half our audience probably has no idea what that even means.
They're like, what the heck just happened?
I'm good, man. You're sounding better. You're looking better. Well, you're sounding better anyways. But did you kick it? Did you kick the bug, Dre? Are you back to normal?
I'm this much closer, I will say. No, not all the way. The throat's still kind of funny and coughing, man. But got back on the mat trying to burn it all out.
Oh, those WordCamps are rough. They'll destroy your body. That was a serious bug. I know at least 10 people that caught it from Phoenix. So glad to hear you better. But Jason, what's up, man? Glad to have you on the show.
I'm good. I'm hailing from Disney World. I'm
Yay.
A little bit of a family vacation.
What are you going to do after the Dreadcast? Go to Disney World, man. Jason, you actually live not too far from me. Most people know I'm in Philly, and you're out here in the beautiful Pennsylvania region, generally.
Yeah.
Just not right now, right?
Yeah, Reading, Pennsylvania. How cold is it right now?
It's brutal. I think it's like 15. Wind chills probably single digits. So stay there. Don't come back.
Yeah.
Give us another month. Maybe this terrible winter will stop, but I doubt it. Yeah.
I hate you, Dre,
and your West Coast beautiful weather.
Well, no, this is terrible, man. It's January, and it's like 80 degrees.
Oh, okay, terrible. Oh, God.
Not so terrible. You know, what ends up happening, though, is it makes you really thirsty. In fact, I want to learn what you guys are sipping on.
Hey, what you sipping on?
Oh man, I'm doing it again. I am on the Dry Dre Express here. I'm training tonight. I'm actually competing this weekend, and I'm getting over a cold, so I am I'm sipping on Canada Dry.
Jason, you beat me to it, man. My finger wasn't quick enough. I got it, Jason. Come on, buddy. You got to come through with me. You got a whole damn bottle over there. Now we're talking.
Bottle of Yellowtail Shiraz.
Yes.
All right. Just for the show, right? What are you going to do if you run out before the show's over?
I don't think I will.
He's got reserves over there. He's good.
Oh, man. We're looking good over there. All right. Well, I got this is actually starting to be one of my favorite drinks. So Captain Morgan. Captain Morgan. Private stock, I think it is. It's very, it's delicious. It's warming me up on this cold January night. So, cheers, fellas.
Ah, salut,
cheers,
salut,
Jason.
Salut. Hey, it's still liquid. It counts.
That Diet Canada Dry.
Yes, and quickly, before we dive into learning a little bit more about Jason, I think we should just give a quick reminder to the room, everybody listening live, that we're doing shout-outs now. So if you missed last week, this is a new thing for the Dreadcast. So shout-outs. We have a form on our site. If you want us to just give you a shout-out, say, hey, so-and-so's cool. Hey, I got a cool plugin. Hey, I got a cool product, new startup, new service, whatever. Tell us. It's free. Submit it. We'll probably shout you out throughout the show. So just go to dragcast.com, fill out the shout-out form, and we'll check some of those out a little bit later.
Booyah. We should be doing that throughout the episode. So, folks, we're going to sprinkle them in, make sure to get them in. like Brad said, right on the sidebar there. Let's do this. Jason, dang, man, when was the last time I saw you? I think there was a Santan appearance.
Yeah, I was at Pressnomics 1 and 2, so the last one, in what was that, November, October?
November. Yeah, I think that's exactly where we saw each other last.
Yep.
Lots changed, I think. I want to talk a little bit about, well, let's back up here. I want to learn how you got involved with WordPress, how you got involved with the community. I mean, so much to the point where you decided to maybe write and rap about WordPress. But I want to learn, like, kind of how'd you get involved, dude? Like, where did your WordPress life start?
Let's see. Started back in 2005 in the rap that I say, you know, Investor Geeks blog. That was a blog I put out on WordPress with some friends, and that was around version 1.5 of WordPress. And at the time, I was just leaving my job at Accenture doing, like, technical consulting to do freelance web development with Kim, my wife and partner. And so the Investor Geeks blog was our first blog, and actually at the time I used WordPress as a blog. I had written my own blog in PHP, and I was like, oh, WordPress does everything it did. But I was very much hacking the core, and I remember a friend who didn't know too much either, but he was saying, like, oh, you can write plugins to do stuff, and I was like, oh, whatever, it's just PHP, just, you know, drop it in. And so for about 2-3 years I only used WordPress for blogs, and we built, you know, some pretty complicated apps on just LAMP Stack and our own framework. But somewhere in there, you know, I slowly transitioned and learned, like, the power of the plugins API, and started, every year we would do a little bit more. We're like, oh, we could use WordPress for that. We could use WordPress for that. Until, you know, a couple years ago, we're using WordPress for everything, and we're building very complicated applications on top of it. I built, along the way, I built a bunch of e-commerce apps, and I probably, in around 2005, actually, launched one of the first e-commerce sites on top of WordPress. It was a custom e-commerce, you know, plugin that we wrote, and we launched about 6 clients over the years on top of that. And feature-wise, it was way better than WP e-commerce, and which was the only other real e-commerce plugin at the time. And I remember thinking, like, oh, like, our plugin's so much better, blah 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 blah. But theirs was, you know, in the repository, and they were getting other people to use it, and it was getting out there, and they slowly built, you know, like a really big company out of that. A really big popular platform, and I was pretty jealous, like, honestly, of just that, like, oh, like, other people are using that software. So that's when we had a couple clients who needed membership software, and we realized that memberships were different than general e-commerce, so we started building a plugin to tackle that space. And this time, instead of doing it, like, just for clients and keeping it closed source within our own, we did total 360 or 180 rather, and, you know, made it completely open source, available for free. And And kind of one, I'm really trying to build Paid Memberships Pro, the membership plugin we built, as, like, the community solution. I want it to be, well, like, the WordPress of plugins. You know?
When you so you said you built a kind of a custom e-commerce platform, and me as a developer, I shiver hearing that, just because I know how involved that had to be. I mean, there's a lot of e-commerce, a lot of moving parts. Were there e-commerce plugins out there? Because I'm not sure exactly the timing. Like, was there actually other options, and you opted to go your own way, or was it early enough that there really wasn't an option for WordPress?
So I don't know the full history of WP e-commerce, but I know at the time when we built it, we had built a site on OS Commerce, which was, like, a, you know, another PHP platform, and then when we built it on WordPress, like, I'm sure we did a search, like, there was no other. If WP Commerce was around, it wasn't anything like the plugins are today. Like, you know, like, there was no reason really to use it back in 2005, I don't think. So definitely when we started, there was nothing else. So we were kind of blazing trails. But after a while, I remember WP Commerce was available, and every time a new project would come along, we're like, oh, should we use our software or move over to this? And we always chose to build up on our software until about around, like, 2008 or 9, where it just, to maintain, even for, like, 4 clients, to maintain an e-commerce plugin by ourselves for them, you know, and try to keep it feature compatible, complete, you know, compared to other plugins, wasn't, you know, a job for 2 people. So, yeah, now we use, we recommend Jigoshop and WooCommerce and things like that for people who want e-commerce.
Yeah, very cool. So let's talk about Paid Membership Pros, because you touched on that a little bit and decided to kind of build your own product, and you mentioned in your monologue about kind of the open source model that you've kind of adopted, open source and freely available model, I should say, which is basically the WordPress model, right? So you have based a business around this. So tell us a little bit more about Paid Membership Pros, and then tell us about kind of the business model around it. How do you make money on a free product?
Yeah, so Paid Memberships Pro is it's a membership plugin, so you use it to charge for access to your WordPress site. And out of the box, we allow you to lock down posts and pages. And it builds its own checkout page and integrates with a bunch of popular gateways. So the checkout is built right into the plugin. And then, yeah, all of our code, like the base code, it's very modularized. We build it so that the core plugin sets up like a very basic membership site. I want to charge $10 per month for access to this site very quickly, and you don't have to, code or do any, advanced settings. But if you want to do, everyone with a membership site wants to, 90% is the same and 10% is like completely different, their own idea about how the discount codes are going to work and how the pricing and upgrades are going to work and whether it's prorated and everyone has to join on the same day and all these, everyone has different rules. So we use hooks and filters, through WordPress so that we can add code to kind of tweak how it works. And because of that, we have a bunch of add-ons, 30, 50 add-ons that change it, and all those add-ons are free too. So there's lots of plugins like Easy Digital Downloads, competes with Paid Memberships Pros in some ways, and their base plugin is free, and the add-ons they charge for, and we don't even charge for the add-ons. So how do we make money? We make it on selling support, and then also there's kind of three tiers. At the low tier, $97 a month, you pay like for access to our forums and for us to answer questions and try to help you to use the plugin. And then $4.97, we'll set up the plugin for you. So people will tell us, hey, I want my membership site to do this. And it's typically a couple hours of just, normal install plus a couple hours of doing that 10% of customization that's a little bit different for everyone. And then we do larger consulting projects, when a larger company wants the full website with membership involved or they want to integrate with many sources. We build that out as a consultant.
Well, speaking of integrating, I'm assuming you're meaning things like shopping carts and such. I mean, for example, I'm a software as a service. We sell a service, but you have to have a subscription. So you have a membership, if you will, or a certain type of membership, depending on the type of subscription you have. That doesn't necessarily equate to shopping cart or e-commerce experience. How does that kind of intermingle? You talked a few different titles earlier on in the discussion.
Yeah.
How does that integration look?
So, yeah, we definitely don't, like with Secure, you have like a third-party service that your plugin will ping and interact with. So we don't have that kind of model. We don't have any kind of, third-party service that people are paying for. That's like a Kismet's model, and a lot of the backup plugins, work that way where they integrate with the third-party service. So most of, like our business model revolves around the service of either the support or, the consulting service to actually set up the plugin. Is what people are basically paying for.
I meant more in the sense of, so what if you do have a product or a service that sits on that site? You have the membership piece, which someone signs up, they pay for that subscription. How are you processing all of that? Are you processing it through some type of commerce solution? How does that
interest you? So when they check out on our page in WordPress, and then typically we integrate with the payment gateways, so Stripe, PayPal, Braintree, Authorize.net, those guys. And actually, that's one of the places where our plugin shines. I mean, I struggle with it. We had some trouble just recently with PayPal, but our plugin is more tightly synced with those gateways than some other plugins. So when you check out...
call them out. We want to hear it. What are the plugins?
Put your dukes up.
Yeah, that's a good point, though. I mean, it's all about your plugin is all about getting the money for that membership. So if that doesn't work or isn't solid, the plugin doesn't work, right? So it's important that is as solid as you say.
Yeah, definitely. So we tell the gateway, hey, charge this person so much money, and then typically the subscription is handled on the gateway side. So every month, Stripe or PayPal will ping their account, and then it also sends a message back to us on WordPress, and we listen to that and generate an invoice and send an email to the user. And if they cancel on your site, you cancel on the gateway. Vice versa.
So if for some reason, it came the first of the month and it's time for you to charge me and it was declined or bounced or whatever, does that gateway then kind of ping back to Paid Membership Pro and say, hey, declined, you need to cancel this membership or auto-cancel it because they didn't charge it?
Yep. So, I mean, every gateway is a little different with different rules, basically, yeah. They ping, you set up a listener on the WordPress side and Paid Memberships Pro. And it gets that message and then sends out an email saying, like, hey, like, your your billing information is out of date, follow this link to update it and stuff like
that.
Very
cool. So I want to talk more about the business model, because I think there's plenty of premium plugins and themes for that matter that would disagree with this model and say this is not a sustainable model. This is not a model that's going to grow to be anything substantial. And I also think there's a side that thinks this is a great model. And I love this topic. I love the idea of just selling premium products, digital products, and there's so many different theories and what works and what doesn't. So I'm really curious why you decided to go with this model, and do you think you made the right decision? Are you happy with where you're at and where you're going with this model?
Yeah, I'll answer in reverse. I'm definitely happy with where it's at. Like, I was much more tentative and unsure of, you know, the choices I had made of the model early on. But every day, obviously, as you know, we make more money through the plugin, it gets more popular and stuff, that helps. But also just the feeling I have that it really is a community solution, and the more that becomes a reality, you know, makes me happy that this is something that's being used and could have a life, you know, outside of us. But early on, you know, I did think it would be like a plugin I would charge money and people would download the software. And it just so happened at that time was around when like Matt Mullenweg and the DIY themes persons, what's it called?
John or Chris. He who not speak his name. Yeah, we know who you're talking about.
Yeah. When they went on Mixer-G and had that interview about the GPL and stuff. So that was, you know, there was a lot of people thinking and talking about the GPL and should you be split licensed or 100%. I actually sent an email to Matt where I wrote something like, hey, I was thinking of this license, and it was like a kind of split license, but it was like, it was very favorable, but the fact that it was like a little bit split, he was like turned off by it. And, you know, obviously, I mean, that's his stance, we all know, where he was like, you know, 100% GPL is the way to go. And he kind of convinced me. I was like, yeah, let's do it. Because from a business perspective, from a business angle, it took us like 3 years to develop the plugin so we could release it. And in that time, Wishlist member, S2 member, Magic members, all those plugins really had gained traction and user base. And in particular, they were spending a lot on advertising and affiliate programs and stuff like that. So for us to come in with the same model and then try to compete with them on marketing was not going to be realistic. So if we released in the WordPress repository where the code was free, we all of a sudden become, you know, we get a leg up. And it was pretty tough because it's always like, oh, there's the paid membership plugins, and they would get reviewed and say, you should go with, if you have money, do one of these paid options. And then they're like, the best free option is paid memberships pro. And we would, you know, people would assume just because it was free that it wasn't good. But I think that's where going to WordCamps and Pressnomics and all that stuff comes into play, because every time I chat with you guys and convince you to use my code on a project, people understand that it is quality and it's...
I mean, chat with us is, you know... I can't. I think it's interesting, especially on that GPL split license, like, and I don't want to go into a big GPL rabbit hole here, but the idea of doing a split license for a plugin seems odd to me, because you're right, you could basically say things like I think the idea of a split license, you could do like the JavaScript and custom graphics could essentially be a different license, but the PHP itself had to be GPL, right? That's kind of, in a nutshell, the idea of a split license. I think something like that kind of makes more sense on the theme side, because you have more design elements, graphics, you know, things like that. Whereas a plugin, really, what is it that would have been split? Just the JavaScript, or is there something I'm missing?
Yeah, I mean, it would just be the images, which aren't really crucial to the plugin. If you have HTML templates, and we have a couple, like, which aren't that crucial. Yeah, that's why plugins don't make as much sense to split license, because if half that you're splitting, you're doing it for business reasons. You're not doing it because you're really protecting, you know, my border image or anything like that, you know. Whereas you are trying to protect the art of it.
Have you given any thought to premium add-ons? So you mentioned add-ons, and I'm looking at the list, and you have quite a few here that you can add. And you said they're all free. They're all on GitHub or WordPress.org. Have you given any thought to doing a marketplace more like a WooCommerce, where the core product's free, the add-ons are premium, maybe you have third-party you know, developers building add-ons and selling through your marketplace? Have you thought about that at all?
Yeah, we definitely thought about that a lot. And kind of 2 years ago, Pressnomics 1, I talked with Pippin a lot about that. He has Easy Digital.
And he has another great example of a really strong marketplace.
Yeah. And I think, so one of the things that I think we lose is that I need to do better in developer outreach in general, so we're starting to have developer chats, me get out to more WordCamps, and just be as awesome a guy as Pippin is in the developer community. But the other thing is, even, I know in my own personal experience, even if, like, I developed a Jiggleshot plugin, I put it on their marketplace because they give you, like, a 50-50, you know, kickback for each sale, and it's not a lot of money at all whatsoever. But the fact that it's a little bit of money, like, just puts you over the edge to contribute. It's like that extra something to kind of convince you.
And it helps justify the support of that going forward, right? When a new version comes out, test it out. Well, you got a little money back in it, so it makes it a little bit easier to swallow when you have to kind of work on it, you know?
Yeah, so from that angle, I think if we had paid add-ons and I was kind of doing a better job of courting developers to add stuff for paid add-ons, we'd be in a better position where, like, 95% of our add-ons are developed by our team and me personally, so it's more for us to manage. So I want more developer support, so I think they would be there. But in terms of, like, the amount of money you could make, I used to think I was giving up a lot. Like, in my head, I was like, oh, like, if we were selling add-ons, we would have made this much per user instead of this much. But at that other Pressnomics, when I was chatting around with some other people with that model, I realized that it's a lot closer than I thought. Like, I thought, so roughly, for every, like, download that we get, a free download on the WordPress.org repository, we can make, like, $1 to $4 per download in terms of, like, upsell. So about, like, 1 to 4% of them will end up buying a $97 per month subscription. So
that's actually a really good percentage. That's much higher than I would have guessed.
Right, so I would think, you know, with the add-ons, I thought they would have, like, 10 to 20% buying one or two $50 add-ons. But in reality, like, they're getting similar numbers in the end anyway. So I don't think we're giving up that much, you know, income-wise to have that model. It's more of the kind of intangibles. And so much is easier. There's a lot of situations where you're like, oh, do I put this in the core plugin or an add-on? And if the core plugin's free but you charge for an add-on, you're going to be motivated to put it in an add-on. Or people aren't going to want to contribute if it's in a paid add-on as much as if it's, I mean, unless it's an add-on they're getting the revenue for, you know, people. So having everything, if it's code, it's free, like, makes all those discussions a lot easier. And business-wise, we are making as much as other plugins with different models, I think.
Very cool. I think, I mean, the idea, I think what you're doing is awesome. I really respect your business model. It's fun to hear about that. And I think it also speaks highly to going to events and networking with, you know, like-minded and like-business people and learn from those people. You mentioned Pippin. I'm sure at Pressnomics you're rubbing shoulders with a lot of different premium theme shops, premium plugin shops, developers, and really kind of learning from each other on what works, what doesn't. And I think that's huge. I mean, we're just kind of getting the product space too, so we're looking at people like you and Pippin and WooCommerce and anybody else out there, you know, CrowdFavor that has premium stuff, and kind of seeing what are they doing and what's working and you know, on the support side and the GPL side and what should be free and what should be paid. And everyone has some different philosophies, but, man, we can learn a lot from each other. So it's really cool to hear that kind of stuff.
I mean, one last thing, if people are interested, what they should look on the Paid Memberships Pro blog, there's an article that's like, our business model, steal it. And people can check that out, because the best thing about the model is it's really simple. You just charge for your support hours based on how much it costs. So there's a lot of people who have a plugin, and they're tired of giving free support in the .org forums, and they're like, what model can I set up? And this is dead simple to set up. As long as you just set up a way to accept money, you don't have to build different plugins or add-ons. You don't have to do any more development. You just say, hey, now I'm starting to collect money for support, and you're off braces. So I think there's probably a lot of developers in that situation that could benefit, just like, hey, this works. You start making money on something you weren't making money on before.
Yes, and I actually, quickly before we move off this topic, I have a question about Paid Membership Pro from a listener. Mr. Liam Dempsey out here in Philly was curious about when Paid Membership Pro, I don't want to put you on the spot, but when Paid Membership Pro, but I will, When can users have, apparently users can have multiple membership levels. They say they can be like gold or silver, but they can't be both. Is that true? And he's kind of curious when that is coming. Is that something on the roadmap? Can you finish before the end of the show for us? Or
That's one of those things where, like, we've been promising it forever. Like, we were shooting to get it done by the end of the year. We're actively developing it. It's right now the timeline is looking early March, so by the end of February. But it's a huge overhaul. But, yeah, it's exactly that. Right now, if you're silver, you can upgrade to gold, but it doesn't fit models where, like, I'm selling three different lessons and people can buy either lesson one or two or three or all of the above.
And I feel like that's probably a feature that on the external side of it probably sounds like it's a little bit easier to implement than on the code side. It sounds it's a pretty complex feature, huh? Just calm down, Liam. It'll come out. Calm down.
Everyone's been waiting on that, and there's a lot of people. By now you should just wait for it, because we do workarounds for people all the time, but, you know, wait another month, hopefully we have
it out. It's coming. Well, that's good. You don't want to rush something out that's buggy or something. Take your time. Do it right. test, and then get it out the door.
Do it.
So you got something else you're working on. Now, let's move on. We've talked about Paid Membership Pro, which I like to talk about premium plugins, just premium products in general forever. But you have something else you've been working on for a little bit now, and it's a new WordPress book that really has piqued my interest, and I have not seen it, so I'm very excited to get a copy of this. But tell us about the book that you have just finished writing, right? You've wrapped it up, so now it's just waiting to be published. Tell us about it.
Yeah, it's I am writing it with Brian Messenlaner, one of the other
heard of him.
Owners at Web Dev Studios. I'm surprised he hasn't sent you a copy yet.
You would think, right? He's probably he's like, no free copies. You got to go buy it.
He's just waiting for a print to give you a signed
version. Right.
But the book is called Building Web Apps with WordPress, and it's going to be published by O'Reilly Media. It has a nice cool iguana on the cover. You can pre-order it on Amazon or through the O'Reilly website, I think.
A link in the chat, and we'll have one in the show notes as well.
Yeah, there's also we have a website for the book as well, and it's an intermediate developer book. So people who've read your book on plugins or WordPress, professional WordPress, and they kind of want to go to the next level in terms of building, you know, complex apps on top of WordPress. We cover a lot of topics, you know, more deeply than some of the other books out there in terms of e-commerce, a lot of, you know, the stuff I learned doing Paid Memberships Pro, localization, you know, which is a topic we'll get into. We talk about mobile, which, you know, Brian helped, you know, build AppPressor with you guys and Scott. So a lot of stuff that went into building that information is in the book.
I love the topic, and I don't, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think there's another book specifically for WordPress around web app out there. I think this is the first of its kind. Is that true?
Yeah, I think that's true, although I did hear a rumor, and
I haven't seen one. On
it, that there was one released in November, but I don't know who for or what it's called. But yeah, definitely when we started writing it, there wasn't.
I love this, because it's a book about WordPress, but it's a book specifically about kind of this... I guess it still is kind of this new thought process of WordPress and how it can be so much more than a blog, so much more than a website. I mean, it can be a full-blown app. And this is a challenge we've had with AppPressor. You know, when you say the word app, what is that? What is an app? Like, it can mean so many different things to so many different people. But at the end of the day, an app is really kind of taking WordPress to the next level. It's kind of taking it outside of it. It doesn't have to be just a general website, right? It can be a full-blown app that does a specific thing. It could still be on the browser, but it could also be on mobile. It could be on tablet. You know, it could be
like
a legit
maybe
app.
Do some really cool sounds and stuff like that, like a soundboard, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, like a soundboard app that had like some really cool sounds that, you know, people recognize from maybe their favorite podcast. That would be a really cool app, and you know, so I'm anxious to read your book and see what it's about. So tell us about like some of the chapters, like how I haven't even seen a table of contents. Brian's been in the dark. I mean, we say web apps, like, what are you guys really diving into? Are there chapters, I mean, how are the chapters broken down? What kind of topics are we looking at?
Yeah, so some of the stuff I talked about, but also, you know, I mean, one thing about the book is we teach people, like, the WordPress APIs, but always from the angle of I'm building an app instead of building a website. So there's a lot of cases where, for instance, when you're designing a plugin, like how to just lay out your directory structure and your file structure to kind of make it more manageable as an app. We also do like comparisons to MVC frameworks, which is something developers or model view controller frameworks. So we kind of explain the logic of, hey, if you're comfortable with MVC, this is like WordPress's version of it. And it's not less, it's not necessarily better, it's just different. So if you think about things this way, here's how you go about building an app with WordPress.
I love it. I want to see more specialty books around this. I mean, WordPress is at the core. There's so much to do. And like even on the professional WordPress, it's very, very hard to fit everything in. And we try to encapsulate a lot on the more professional advanced side. But it's still a challenge, and there's still things that have to get cut. So I think these more niche books that are like, all right, here's how to get really advanced around a specific topic, like a web app, I think we're going to see a lot more of this in the future, and it's kind of neat seeing you guys kind of breaking ground on this.
Yep.
So when can we expect this to come out? Is there a date? I know you said you've officially finished writing it. Do we have a rough date of when that's going to drop?
I think it's kind of out of my hands. We gave everything over to O'Reilly, but the timeline I think is as soon as the editors are done, like typesetting basically, the ebook will be available. That's what they've told us. So the ebook should be available like momentarily, next week, week after, something like that. And then by the end of February, the print book should be in stores at Barnes and Nobles and available.
Oh yeah.
So.
Very cool. We will definitely keep an eye out for that. And when that drops, let us know, and we will let all of our lovely Dradcast listeners know all about it. And I will be picking up a copy for sure. So,
drop it like it's hot.
I'll send you guys some.
Oh, yeah. Very cool. So, before we move on to the real news, I think there's something we need to talk about. And I think it's the reason there's 1,000 people in our chat room right now. And Jason, you're also known for something else that you did a couple years ago. Has it been a couple years? It's been a little while.
Yeah, it was last week in Philly, I guess.
Which has been a year over, year and a half, forever. So you actually did a WordPress wrap. And I think it was one of the coolest things ever. Not only did you do this wrap, you put it on YouTube, which is pretty ballsy in itself. But you got up in the very morning of WordCamp Philly, and you live rapped in front of the entire crowd. Man, I got a lot of respect for you. I don't know if I could have done that. And I was like, I literally asked you the day of, like, Jason, you want to rap? And you're like, sure. You pulled up the lyrics on your phone, and you did it in front of the whole crowd. So if you have not heard it, you got to hear it, and you're going to hear it right now. So feel free to lip sync, Jason, but we got to do it.
Oh, okay. I got my family walking in here as an audience.
Do you want to rap for them?
Live from Walt Disney World. It all started in 2005. Impressive was coming alive. Had to take WP for a test drive and never look back. It changed my life. I used to rock the Kubrick theme legit. One menu, a sidebar, and that was it. Before long, I was hacking the core, took a couple of upgrades, but I don't do that no more. WordPress with the capital P. Mad theme, CPT since the version 3. The best CMS, open source development team, blog of my life, living the dream. WordPress isn't subtle. Ooh. Hits you over the head, fills you with the spirit of Matt Mullenweg. Anyway, I'm reading off like an old version of the lyrics here.
Oh, you got to keep going, man. You're leaving us hanging. I'll play the audio if you want me to. I'll do it.
No, it's cool.
All right. Well, I don't want to say we only have one rapper on the show. So we have a Mr. Dre Dizzle over here. And Dre's been known to sling some rhymes on occasion. So I don't want to instigate anything.
No,
but
no.
If we have to do it.
Battles of history.
It's a rap battle. Dre versus Jason. We got to do this. I want to hear it. Let's go.
Oh, man. Terrible. So good. So this is funny like Larry Curry and Moe. What game do you think we're playing, though? Let's do a rap battle because we're hanging with the dude from Stranger Studios. Yo, you must think I'm foolish, yo, that's fine. I'm gonna cry, that's the tear inside my eye, that's not cool, bro. Let's do this, though. Gotta rock in that drag. It's hot, let's pop this spot, you're gonna feel this. Until I drop some names, you're gonna get offended. Like, what you talking about, Willis? I wanted a Gary, but I got a Jason. Now you're facing Dre, one of the old men. That's messed up. You're confusing with what you told him. You brought on a Coleman. Yeah, why? You trolling. You should have been protecting me like a Trojan. Now you're gonna get on the mic and I'm gonna drop you like some laundry. You straight get folded. It's cool, I get it. You rapped about the press back in the day and I was in shit. It was tight, I must confess. It lasted a little bit of a minute like a fat. Now you're popping collars over chilling with the drag. That's all I got.
All right, tell me. All right.
Oh, no.
stated. While yours is so bad, they've been deprecated. Since 2.9, I'm keeping the rhyme as I read below the more line. I make my girl weak when I do actions and inputs. I clean all of my inputs with strict flashes. Not subtle. WordPress hits over the head. If there's a right to spit a mad Marlin drug, I'm not bitter. I'm never a quitter. I follow photo mass standards on Twitter. WordPress.
Woo! Episode 3-1. Jason Coleman, what you doing? Get it in.
I'm here with Brad. You can't rap this sad. Let's pick up the big box and be rad, y'all. Join us. Festivus, while we embark on a festivus of fun and light. Word rap. Light. Busy world,
Oh, man. I don't know who won that.
I like Drake's.
That was pretty amazing.
That is great, man.
That is.
When that happens, there are no winners, my friend. There are no winners.
Epic rap battles. Dre versus Jason.
That was
awesome. I don't know where we go from there. I'm not sure how anything we do the rest of the show could top what just happened.
That was so miserable.
I don't think the chat room was expecting that. I think half the people left, and then 100 more people came in. That was pretty amazing.
Ooh, no good, man.
Wow, I need a drink after that. That was awesome. So, with that...
I've got nothing.
Let's get into some pressing topics.
Word. Pressing.
Topics of the week.
Oh my god. That was awesome.
No, that was terrible.
That was the best thing I think I've ever seen on this show. I don't know what just happened, but it was pretty amazing.
I want to cry.
What are we talking about today? We got all sorts of topics. Guys, which one stands out? Jason, where do you want to go?
Yeah, let's talk about Aesop's funding.
Aesop.
Tell
us about that. So Aesop is a WordPress storytelling plugin that has been funded. What's going on there, Jason? What happened?
Yeah, so Aesop looks like this cool little plugin that will basically allow you to write a multimedia story. So it changes the WordPress editor to make it easier to build these kind of, you've probably seen like these almost like an infographic style, large image, you know, kind of story. And they raised money, was it on CrowdTilt or somewhere else where they were raising their money?
I believe, I think you're right. CrowdHoster.
Okay.
Whatever that is.
Yeah, and I think.
Is that CrowdTilt?
So, yeah, it looks like a cool little plugin. And I guess more like news sites would want to use it, and I guess some other, you know, projects that you know want to do that kind of thing. But like more importantly is that they were able to raise the funding over a site like this. You know that there's these niche plugins out there that people need, and it takes a lot of time and like risk and balls basically for a developer to say, hey, I'm going to spend my nights and weekends, or I'm going to forego, you know, revenue.
Yeah, I mean, so there's a couple stories going on here. We talked about this pre-show. So you have the idea of the whole crowdfunding of projects, which is really cool, and I want to talk about that. But you also have the idea of there's a lot of focus on changing the editor and stuff. So let's focus on the crowdfunding aspect. So this isn't the first WordPress plugin or theme that I've seen that's been crowdfunded. There's been a handful, not a lot, but a handful that has been successful. I think this is a cool freaking idea. You know, you have an idea. You know it's going to take a lot of work. You know if you're just kind of squeezing in nights and weekends, it's going to take you forever. But if you can get funded, you can help justify, you know, doing this instead of some of the work you're going to take in because it is funded. What do you guys think? Is this the future of plugin and theme development? Is this what people are going to start doing going forward? Do you like the idea? What do you think?
Meh.
Jerry summed it up. All right, moving on.
What I think is cool is it seems like that plugin is pretty far along, like in the demos, and I think you can download a version of it. I haven't played with it. But it reminds me of, we had Paid Memberships Pro in a place where we were using it. It was usable. But to take it from that level to, like, publicly, you know, supporting on all platforms, compatibility with all themes, etc., is about at least 50% of the work again. So it's kind of like, hey, if you have a plugin that's working, put up the demo, see if people are interested. And you know, it's the marketing angle too. Like, I'm sure, like, a lot of these projects, the people involved would do them anyway, even if they didn't fund totally. But it's a way to get out there, and test the waters, how many people are interested, and stuff like that.
Come in. Oh.
All right.
Hey, we have a special guest.
Hey, did somebody order a Captain Morgan?
Now, this is Service with a Smile. Everybody say hi to the Lisa Sabin, oops, Wilson.
Well, hey, ooh.
Hey.
Say hi to the Dradcast world there. She's, when did you get here? Aren't you in Wisconsin?
No, I'm not.
Oh, wait. Yeah,
I'm in Philly right now.
She can't get rid of her. She's always here. She's moved into my house.
So I got a promotion at WebDev Studios. My job is now to bring Brad drinks.
All right. Finally. I have made it.
Hey, Jason.
Thank you, Lisa.
Hey, you're welcome, Brad.
Cheers.
That's awesome.
All right, where were we? That worked out great.
So, yeah, I mean, crowdfunding's cool. If you already have a product and you want to see how many people like it and get the money to take it to kind of distribution stage, it's a probably pretty good tool.
Yeah, so Dre, you said meh, and I feel like I know why you might be thinking that. Is your meh related to, like, the PressGram idea, or is it just in general?
It's hard to say. I think the PressGram certainly wasn't a great experience for me. You know, but it's like anything, right? Betting anything that you're going to invest in. You need to do your due diligence, and you need to be aware of what you're investing in from all angles, right? In general, the whole crowdsourcing thing, when it's something like that, for me, I think maybe I have a kind of a dark wall around liking it too much, being coming from the design side and that whole kind of spec type maybe attitude that's attached to it. I don't know. It's grown, certainly. I get a bad vibe from it. That's all.
I think for me, I like the idea, so I think it's a cool idea. For me, it has to be, they had to be very transparent about what they're going to do. I feel like there's been some in the past that maybe weren't as transparent, or maybe it wasn't clear, and maybe there were some assumptions. But if someone comes out and says, I'm going to build a plugin that is this amazing stuff, here's a proof of concept, here's what I want to build, I know it's going to take a lot of work. I'm going to build this thing. You fund it. I'm going to build it. It's going to be free. I'm going to throw it up on .org. I'm going to put it on GitHub. It's going to be out there because you already funded it. There's no reason for me to charge for it. I love it. I love it if they do that. I love it because I think it justifies the work. I mean, I know, we all know what goes into building stuff like this. A lot of work. And just doing it for free on the side is definitely commendable, and a lot of people do it, but it's really hard to do that and have a full-time job and have a family and have a life, you know? So I really like the idea of this. Pitch in $5 and all of a sudden he makes $6,000 and he's going to build it. So I think that's cool, you know? I would like to see more of this in the future.
As an aside, what do you guys think of, there's been a couple big WordPress crowd tilts that are like buying Justin Tadlock, helping down payment on
it. Yeah.
Buying Chris Lumma a PC, I think someone else who we're buying a PC for also. What do you guys think
there's
about
that? There's been a lot of that. Like, I feel like...
Yeah, I'm probably not buying any more PCs.
Until I buy myself a damn PC. No, Justin Tadlock, I think, kind of started that a little bit, because he kind of put it out there and said, hey, I want to buy this house. I'm about $5,000. I'm about $5,000 short. You know, he's like, I know this is a little bit weird, but I'm just going to ask the community, if you can contribute $1, $2, $5, I'm not asking for a lot. Just, if I've ever helped you, give me $1. Like, yeah. And that's not an unreasonable request, in my opinion. And I was like, absolutely, you helped me a lot. We wrote a book together, but even prior to that, I mean, I think everyone listening and all of us have learned at least one thing, if not a lot, from Justin Tadlock. I like that. I think it could easily be abused. People start saying, hey, buy Dre a computer, you know, like, no offense, Dre. I'm sure you deserve a computer, but I would much rather kind of invest in to help buy someone a computer that maybe couldn't afford it or isn't doing as well, to try to help them out more so than, not saying Dre's sitting on stacks of money, but he is.
I wish I was.
No, you know what I mean? Like, you don't want to just be like, oh, let's buy someone a computer, and you know they could probably do it themselves, when I would rather buy someone a computer that maybe can't afford it, and maybe that's holding them back from actually their full potential because they're on a 5, 6, 7-year-old laptop, you know? So I feel like that could start getting abused a little bit. I don't think it's been abused yet, but I think it could start getting abused. I just like the idea of the the projects, because you're paying someone a little bit of money, and then they're going to, you're going to get something back, and not just you, the community is getting something out of it.
And sure. I think if Dre went in as an investor, and you might have dumped more money into PressGram than I did, like, you had a different mindset, but I think the best mindset for those is like, oh, that's pretty cool. I wish that was a real thing. Here's a couple dollars that I can spare, you know. Is kind of, I wish this was a thing. Let me put a little bit, a few dollars in, more likely to happen.
Yeah, that's, yeah, it would be interesting if there was maybe a crowdfunding site where people just throw ideas and the people kind of pledge money, and then if someone, you know, they're not actually attached to people until, you know, at some point someone can kind of take it. I don't know. That's out there, but, you know, I get what you're saying. I think there is, the crowdfunding thing is definitely in its infancy, just in general, on the internet. It's only really been, you know, really mainstream the last couple of years, so it'll be interesting to see where it's at in a few years from now.
Sure enough.
But these products, we'll keep an eye on it. I think it's cool. We'll see where it goes.
Word up. Word digital. Jason Coleman.
Dre, don't you do all the segues? I thought.
Nah.
That's kind of what I was waiting for, and you're just over there throwing out, like, dizzles and izzles. And...
yeah, I'm kind of broken down.
Where's my nizzle? The news is on the drizzle. Okay.
Woo!
Nowadays,
you know, we can just rap battle the rest of the show if you guys want to get crazy.
No,
I think the audience would love it.
So let's talk about this Woo thing. So you two have woes. What's going on here with Woo themes and some of this the language barriers that they seem to have hit?
Yeah, so Zay wrote a post, and Zay will be in one of the I've met him a few times in Europe. He's one of the organizers, or I'm sorry, I met him once at the Community Summit in the U.S., one of the organizers of WordCamp Europe. And really cool guy, really, really, really loves gin, and will school you on a martini like it's nobody's business. I've learned a lot from Zay and his martinis, a lot that I want to forget, and a lot that I have forgot. But good guy, great guy. So he makes this post about Woo, and he's basically saying there's a lot of issues with Woo themes in the internationalization side of things. So it's kind of taking their theme and changing the language. A surprising a lot of issues, especially since Woo themes is based in Norway and South Africa. So I feel like not being in the States, this should kind of be one of the things that's at the front of their mind. And not everything he points out is something that they have to do. It's things he's saying would be nice if they did, but there are some glaring issues here. You know, for me, and I think we're all speaking, we're all going to speak from people who live in the States because we do. So, and that's, you know, sure. English is our first language. You know, not to say that internationalization is not important, because it absolutely is, but it's not the first thing that people are thinking about from U.S.-based companies. Having gone to WordCamp Europe, that really opened my eyes into how important making sure this stuff is right? It's really, really important. And it's easy to kind of forget about it when you're in the U.S. and everybody around speaks English, and maybe the bulk of your clients speak English. But he's pointing out some very valid things that I think anyone that's selling a product should probably read and make sure that whatever product they're selling is following this stuff. I mean, Jason, what's your experience with internationalization around your plugin? I'm sure that's an important part of it, right?
Yeah. And I think what's good about the article is that it's from a real user and developer's, you know, focus of here's how I wish it was. This is optimal for me. And I think I agree with a lot of those points in terms of, like, that's a good way to have gone about doing things. And I know as a developer that it's not always so easy. So it's good. Like, and it's not because we are naive or, like, we don't like people who speak other languages, but, you know, from a perspective, you have to start somewhere, and we're going to start in English. And localization is one of those things where, like, it can seem to be easy, but actually it can be pretty tough. And I know for our plugin, like, we held back on localization because it would have taken so much effort to, like, translate Paid Memberships Pro into French. But if once that had happened, there was no payment gateways besides PayPal that we were integrated with that worked with Paid Memberships Pro, we'd have a lot of French speakers trying to use the plugin and then get into another roadblock saying, like, oh, it doesn't work because I can put it in French, but I can't sell things in euros, that kind of stuff. So, you know, depending on, yeah, you got to have priorities. And it adds a lot of, you know, every time you make a release, you know, you should get the input from your the team who's translating and stuff like that to keep it all up to date. It's kind of like one more thing. But it is important. Like, we've not, what some people maybe are underestimating, like, the business opportunity. And, you know, is that definitely once we internationalize our plugin, you know, we've, you know, effectively doubled the, and or more, you know, the total number of people who could potentially use our plugin, and we're getting a lot of work, you know, from people who are localized.
Do you, as a premium, well, I say premium, but really your plugin's free, so maybe that's not the right way to say it. I'm just thinking, as a plugin that you sell, again, I said it wrong, a plugin you give away for free and sell support for, do you feel there's a certain obligation to not only provide the translation files, but also provide the translations in certain languages? Do you feel like on you, you should be paying someone to do that? Or do you feel like that's something you hope the community will contribute to rather than you shelling out the money to do that?
Yeah, I mean, I feel some responsibility because, like I said, if we when we get a translation to a new language, it opens up our business potential, and so we benefit from it. So we definitely support the people who translate our plugin for us. Financially and otherwise, but in general, like, people have been, you know, giving us the link because they're doing it anyway. They were kind of hacking translated versions of our plugin, and now we gave them the tools to do it more easily. So, yeah. And they're very, and because our code is free, like, they're very open to giving that stuff back for other people to use. So, luckily, so far, like, it is like a community effort. And when people come to us, like, because we're completely open source, we say, hey, here's our GitHub repository, and here's a article on our website that goes through the steps on how to translate. Like, if you do that, that's great. Like, we'll help you, you know, as much as...
Yeah, I'd be curious to ask, and I think this goes back to, like you mentioned, with Woo Themes, it's a completely premium product with their actual themes. They're not free. You have to buy them. So I almost wonder, and I don't know if we can answer this, but as a premium, selling a premium product that's not free, is there that responsibility of
translating? Well, I think it comes down to their business, and they are selling a product, and they can dictate what that product has or doesn't have.
Sure.
You know, certainly would bode well for them to have translated files from a business perspective, because there are huge opportunities for them if it is properly translated and it interconnects with all of the things that tie into Woo. That said, I in no way agree that it should be mandatory, because that is, again, it's a business thing. You know, Zay makes a comment in here. POD is not only legal, but actually mandatory. I agree with half of, as a Californian, I agree with half of that. Thing, right? I don't entirely agree that it should be mandatory, although it would certainly be a positive thing for them if they had the infrastructure in place to support it properly. Not saying that would be difficult either, but that's a business decision, and if they haven't made that. Sorry.
I feel like my opinion of it is that it should everything. If you sell something, if you give it away, I don't care how you. If you distribute something, it should be ready. It should be internationalized. It should be ready to be translated.
Yeah, why not?
Your string should be ready. It should be ready to go. I do not think there's an obligation to provide those translation files. You know, now if you sell something completely premium, maybe. But if it's free and open, there's not. Because you're basically giving people an avenue, like Jason is, to say, hey, if you want this in your language, help us out. The POT file's there. You know, translate it for us. I don't know the language that you want, so I'm not the one to translate it. But if you know it, do it, and we'll absolutely include it in the next release. I'm all for that. Everything you release should absolutely be translatable. It should be internationalized, which is the proper term, internationalized, and it's a tongue twister. But I just don't agree that you should be required to provide those translations, because generally the only way to do that is to pay somebody, unless you know the language, which most people don't know more than one or two languages. So, but it's a great article. I mean, it's something that if you're not making anything you're releasing internationalized, you need to read this article, and you need to sit and you need to go to a WordCamp and go to a presentation on how to do it. It's really, really easy. I mean, just like anything in WordPress, they give you the tools to do it. It's just understanding how to do it. If there's a text string, Make it internationalized. Make it ready to go. Yep. Simple as that.
It's a chapter in building web apps for WordPress, and we get into the business angle of it too in there too.
That's good, and I think it needs to be its own chapter. It's that important because you can't get in the mindset of only people who speak English are going to use my plugin. You just can't do that. Help people help you. You know, put it on GitHub, put it on WordPress. If someone says, "Hey, is this available in Spanish, and you don't know Spanish, say it's not. But if you do, we would absolutely love your help. If you submit the translation file, we absolutely include it. We'll give you props for doing it. And we'll ask that every new release, if we have changes, we'll ask if you could review those for us and help us with each new release. So it's important stuff. I mean, a lot of people need to check it out. But I don't want to go on too much of a tangent. It is important. Very.
Man, well, yeah, I think we should probably get moving. I would love to hear.
Would say so.
Yeah, I would love to hear you guys.
Before I have to work, I have Lisa bring me another drink. We should get this.
Well,
get this
hey, take a sip. Take a sip and let us know what you got for Bart Tricks.
Oh baby, was that a segue? I am not ready for that. Gosh. All right, here we go.
Let me show you a Bart Trick.
Dad. Trick.
Oh God, great trick.
Trap.
Just kidding. Dre, what do you got over there, buddy?
Hey, I've got a little bit of...
I know we're all slacking.
Yeah, I know, hey.
Oh, dude, you have my bar trick. That's awesome.
I think I had it first. So
you asshole.
We
it's cool. It's cool. Take it. It's all right.
WordPress Core Components. Nason, this is props to Nason on the Make WordPress Core blog. He broke down all of the core components and all of the open tickets, or actually tickets available to it over the last week, and how much it's increased or decreased in terms of tickets. This is sick. Like, I'm looking at this, and I keep just kind of refreshing and coming back to this page. Super awesome. So if you get a chance, head over to make.wordpress.org/core/components and check it out. I think it's a neat way to kind of get a really high-level view of what type of track tickets are open for each of the components in WordPress Core.
That's pretty awesome.
Anything to add to that there, Sir Bradford?
I mean, this is awesome because one of the most confusing things about Core is when you look at that massive list of open tickets, it's extremely overwhelming, and it's really hard. It's not so hard to do it, but it's the interface is confusing. It's very, and I've used it a lot, and I'm still confused by it. So this is great because you can immediately kind of skim through and say, you know what, Cash, nah, that's not me. You know, like Cron, maybe. Like, you can kind of pick and choose where you feel like you would be comfortable looking at some tickets. So I think this is really going to help people get involved and say, you know what, plugins. I could look at plugins. Post thumbnails. That might be something I could do, you know. Revision, rewrite rules. I don't think so, you know. So it's going to help people find ways to get involved. And the more tools they release and produce like this, the better. I mean, this is freaking cool. I bookmarked it. When I'm ready to dive in and contribute, this is where I'm going to start.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Yeah, I love it.
If you want a job at Automattic, just pick one of those categories, 3 months learning it, and then submit your job application. You know, those are all basically departments at Automattic, I'd assume, almost.
Jason, what do you got, man? I hope you got something, because...
Yeah, my bar trick, I don't know how much of a trick it is, but people probably are aware, or maybe not, that the site reddit.com has subreddits. So reddit.com/r/WordPress is a WordPress subreddit, and people can post topics about WordPress there and upvote them and comment on them and whatnot. And right now it's probably like... maybe like 75%, I need help with WordPress, you know, someone tell me exactly how to do this one thing, and 25% interesting news. But over time, it's slowly building up, like more of the regulars and people I recognize in the community outside of Reddit, you know, but in the WordPress community are chiming in. So I think this is a good platform to kind of ask people, like, hey, if you use Reddit, lots of us waste time on Reddit, add the WordPress subreddit to your list of Reddits and maybe post something in there every week and comment on the stuff in there, because It could be more useful than it really is. Like if the people I know who use WordPress started using that subreddit for more. So
love it.
That's what I'm asking.
Love it, man. Where are we at, Bradford? Baby. What's going on here?
My bar trick is a private GitHub repo that I'm actively trying to make public. Wow, I didn't realize this was private. until literally like 2 seconds ago.
That images folder private.
This is awesome. All right, I think it's public. Let me check here. I was like, why is it 404 in on one computer and not the other? All right, I'm going to throw this out there. My team's going to be like, what the hell? No, actually, Scott was working on this. Scott K. Clark. This is cool. It's a plugin we're going to throw up on WordPress.org, but we're just kind of dusting off a little bit and polishing it up. The plugin is called Taxonomy Switcher. So what this allows you to do, basically you can switch a taxonomy for terms by a specific parent of another taxonomy, if that makes sense. And if you ever need to do that, it's a bit of a pain. And you can do it through the database if you know what you're doing, but it can be a little bit confusing kind of diving in there. So this is pretty simple. If you go to the GitHub repo, there's instructions, the first one being backup, and the second one being, it's all URL-based right now. We're building a UI. That's one of the reasons it wasn't public. So Scott will love me tomorrow when he realizes I'm talking about it. So there will be a UI probably tomorrow or by the end of the week where you can just kind of click and do what you want to do. But for right now, it's all query string-based. You basically type in the query strings, the from tax, the old taxonomy name, the new taxonomy, and then the parent ID. And it will do that switch for you and clean and make sure everything's good to go. So there will be a UI, so don't worry too much about that query string stuff. But bookmark this because this is, if you ever need to do this, this is a really handy little script. We'll make it nice and pretty and get it up on .org.
Love it. We will get into some of the upcoming events here next week as we chat a bit about them in more depth.
Sorry, Dre, I don't mean to cut you off, but Jason, you mentioned the WordPress Reddit. I do want to throw a shout out to the Pro WordPress Reddit, which I started. It's a Reddit for more advanced topics around WordPress, so developer theming, like really diving in. It's not how do I do XYZ or what plugin should I do this. It's what business model should I use for my plugin? Sorts of stuff. It's one that not as many people know, and I don't think it should ever be as big as /WordPress. But it's much more advanced topic. So didn't mean to cut you off, Dre, but I want to make sure we threw that.
No worries. We saw a little teaser today around the venue being secured for Pressonomics 3. So stay tuned for more information on that. Jason, it's been a dang pleasure, brother. You beat me out on rap. You beat me out on being awesome. It was great having you here as a host. Where can people find you if they want to find you on Twitter?
Jason_Coleman on Twitter.
Love it. So make sure to hit him up and say hello, connect to him, and talk to him about business models and some awesome membership stuff. Bradford, where can people find you?
Oh, man. Well, if, like Lisa, you could just come to my house and show up and bring me a drink. That's cool. But if you're not Lisa, you can find me on Twitter, WilliamsBA. Or check out my blog, Strange Work, which I never seem to blog. So just find me on Twitter, Williams.
Strange people. And I am at Dre Maida. I am the doctor. This is the rad over here. We are the drad. And thanks, Jason, again for being a part of the show. Episode 031, and we're out. Holla at your boy.
Peace. Rap battles of history.
Booyah! There you have it, folks, the latest edition of the Dradcast. If you dig the show, make sure you pass it on. If you have content for the show, want to submit to be a guest host, or just want to listen to older episodes, visit the Dradcast website at dradcast.com. While you're there, make sure you click the iTunes subscribe link to catch us on iTunes.
Don't forget to follow at Dradcast on Twitter, and we thank you for tuning in.
Join Dre and Brad plus a new guest host next week.
Yes!
On another episode of the Dradcast. Drad.